You guys ready for the word? We've been hearing word all morning. Let's just keep it flowing, right? Let's keep it flowing. Well, this morning, I'm going to offer another prayer in a minute specific to the word. But I want to set up today's message. This is really, redeemed and reconciled, you see there. And Jesus, my closest friend. Jesus, my closest friend. Friend, do you think of Jesus that way in your life? Well, I have one ask today, and I have a goal. I'm going to give it to you right away. My ask is this, that you would identify your five closest relationships of greatest influence in your life. Now, I'm thinking people. So by name, who that would be? Is it someone in your family? Is it a friend? Is it a mentor? Is it an acquaintance? Whatever it may be. And I'm also going to add this, because this is the day and age we live in. We are influenced by so many things. You can even be more influenced today, maybe in your top five, by someone you don't actually have physical relationship with. Maybe a podcaster. Right? Maybe an influencer. What are the top five influences in your life? Closest proximity in some ways to your heart and your relationship life. And also has the greatest amplitude, okay? So as we go through the message today, you be thinking about that. There might be pen and paper in front of you, however you need to do it. I'd love for you to have it. Maybe you just make it like a list. They don't have to be in a hierarchy, just as they come to you. And go with first impulse, all right? Don't worry about overthinking it. First impulse, write them, because later I may have you do something with those names, okay? Would you stand today for the reading of God's word? And as I do this, I would like you to just sing with me this song before I go into the word, because today this came to me and I think it's important for us to sing and affirm together. I'm going to try and pick a pitch. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. Now from verse 2, this is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. A tenor pitch. The word of the Lord from Job 9, verse 33, first of all. God is not mere mortal like me, that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. If only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me. And John chapter 3 today, very truly I tell you, Jesus' words, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'll tell you what, stay standing. Lord, incline our hearts to your witness, your light, your love, and your truth. Lord, open our eyes to behold wondrous things, to be able to see and to know, to understand the beauty that is you. Lord, would you unite our hearts in awe and wonder and fear of your name? Lord, would you satisfy our desires, the cravings of our heart, our mind, our body, our spirit, in knowing and experiencing that you are more than enough? May your story, your presence, your life come alive in us. Jesus, teach me more of you, that I might walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our world is filled to overflowing, saturated with vibrations and correlations, polarities, rhythms, all of them dancing together in waves of motion all around us every day. In 1665, a Dutch physicist, Christian Huygens, discovered a physical property. It was a law of physics, meaning something God designed and created to work with perfection. He placed two pendulum clocks on a stationary wooden beam side by side, so close proximity. He started them at different cadences, and this is what he observed. Over time, they gradually and then completely became synchronized. It took about 30 minutes. What you are about to observe on the screen in a moment here, and you can watch it for yourself, you will notice that there are five pendulums on a beam, not two, on top of two rollers, not stationary, but it's the same concept. What this just does is it speeds up the process of asynchronous to synchronicity and takes only about a minute. So let's get that cued. Here it comes. And it should be about a minute or so. Wait. All right. We can end it. This reality has been termed a hermetic principle. Hermetic. Now, if you search that online, you're going to get all kinds of crazy stuff. People like to say a hermetic principle and relate it to spiritual, philosophical, Eastern mysticism, a way of becoming one in conscience. It's tied with mentalism, if you've ever looked at it or know what that is. It's all over the internet. But this is about a physical property, physics, kind of truth and reality. When two oscillating systems exist in close proximity, the stronger rhythm mechanically pulls the weaker one into alignment. It requires no permission, not even an awareness. It simply happens. It's almost like a gravitational pull. It's a principle of proximity and amplitude, a God-created reality, and Christian called it entrainment. That's good. I want you to remember that. Entrainment. As any good scientist would do, he tested and retested this. He would watch them synchronize, and when they were synchronized, he would keep them right synchronized, but he would separate them, and then over time they would become, what do you think? Asynchronous. He would bring them back together, and sure enough, the same principles would hold. They would become synchronous when they were in close proximity, and the stronger one pulling the weaker one in, relating to amplitude. So is there a principle here that can be carried over to human relationships? I think so. We tend to become the average of the five people in closest proximity, nearest to us, and exert the greatest amplitude or influence. Now, the evidence for this is everywhere. I'm just going to give you, I don't know, empirical you'd call it, or if it's just observational truth or whatever, but I'm just going to give you some of my own, and I'm sure these can be, right? I can look them up too, and you'll find some things behind it in research. We are moldable and adaptable as human beings. God made us this way, by the way, to mature and to develop, to grow. God made us in such a way that we would be in relationship with God, our Creator, that we would be pulled into His orbit and in synchronicity with the Maker and Creator of our very being, our soul and intimate relationship. God made us in such a way that we would actually be able to live, as impossible as this sounds, in harmony with one another as human beings. That's how God created us. It's God's design. And we are shaped too by the people closest to us, by the crowds around us. We're influenced by the amplitudes of those things. So you hang out with chaotic people, and over time your spirit tends to become more chaotic. You hang out with stable people and your spirit tends to stabilize. Do you experience this? I know I do. That's why I'm so thankful for Dion. Chaotic? Thanks for affirming what I knew was empirical. Her presence does stabilize me. I know this to be a true thing. Proximity and amplitude, it actually is transformative. So let me talk about group dynamics a little bit to see if some of this truth comes through. I'm going to come at it from a few different angles. I've noticed that groups that meet regularly, and the longer they meet, the group tends to gravitate and synchronize based on proximity and amplitude, certainly, but it happens almost towards the most frequent and the loudest voice or voices that steer the direction in a group, and it tends to become more and more in the image of that person and likeness. It's something that just kind of happens. The needle of any group tends to move towards this amplitude and proximity direction. I've also noticed that when a group is given a task to do, I've had this multiple times. You have it in any small group trying to accomplish any task. It almost seems like you can only move as fast as the lowest common denominator, right? Sometimes that's the case. It certainly is the case when you're trying to develop vulnerability and intimacy in a group. You can only go as far as that lowest common denominator. Amplitude, proximity. This hermetic principle gives insight, too, into why mobs grow and increase in strength. We see it in our world today. We see it on our own streets. We see it in all kinds of circumstances around our world. That as the chance of a group of people rises, anger grows, vulgarity flows, the words and emotional expressions become stronger and louder. And when they're together, it gets amplified. Go to a Denver Broncos football game. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about amplitude. What happens when someone starts complaining loudly about the refs and it's your team that's getting the short end of the stick? What happens to you? You get more vocal. You get more amped up. And man, when it comes to these kind of things, when words move to actions and the growing proximity and amplitude of violence crescendos, how does this happen? Amplitude, proximity, starting to vibrate together. It's hermetic. It's physical, social, emotional, spiritual. And you throw in sin into this kind of human dynamic of relationships, and you've got a powder keg. Some people will act and do things they never normally would have done, except something is amplified in them. It influences our thoughts and behaviors. By the way, we were made to kind of resonate like this. It's just that when sin is in the picture, watch out. This hermetic principle may be why my mom said to me often and was very interested in who I would hang out with, especially in later elementary, into middle school and high school. I get it now, Mom. I get it. It's hermetic. This is why she would warn me about so-and-so or encourage me to spend more time with so-and-so. Why she breathed a sigh of relief when I left for college with some good friendships intact, because we tend to become the company we keep. It's hermetic. For good or evil, for better or for worse. So, this is God's good design, by the way. We just have a problem. What keeps us in our world from being in sync and resonating with God? And resonating with one another in the ways that God designed us to be? Well, we know the answer to this. It's sin. It's the negative X factor in our world and in ourselves and in our relationships that distort and wipe out God's good correspondence and rhythms. We no longer resonate with God. In fact, the distance from Him, we become more and more asynchronous. Well, okay, let's talk about hope. What brings us back into alignment, into resonation with God and in sync with one another? Well, this one is Jesus. It's actually a person who is fully God and fully human, who has drawn near with such incredible proximity. He became incarnate. Such devotion in his life that he follows God faithfully, ends up in crucifixion on a cross, and then by his power, talk about amplitude, he rises from the dead. What brings us back into alignment, into resonation with God and in sync with one another, the way God created us to be? Well, it's Jesus. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. Because Jesus is a person in whom we can have relationship. I want to spend just a couple minutes, and not very long actually, on how this happens. This is the theology part of today's message. Redemption and reconciliation. This is how he does it. Jesus is the powerful, positive X factor of proximity and amplitude that pulls us back into alignment with God and with one another. He is the transformative hermetic principle, if you want to say. Jesus says it. Listen to his words again. You must be born again if you want to enter in. To enter his kingdom, to resonate with him, we must be born again. But he says you must be born of water and of spirit. Now, there's all kinds of ways that people have interpreted that over time. I'm going to make it real simple and probably the bullseye understanding. Maybe there's some other layers, but this is to be born of water means simply to be cleansed. Well, you say cleansed of what? Well, our sin. It's shame, the guilt washed away, which, by the way, those things just cause a lot of asynchronicity with God and with the other people. Our shame and our guilt. Its power and its curse are broken. That's what it means to be washed of water. Its penalty paid and forgiven. So think of it as like being washed away. Biblically understand it. Born of water. Now, how about of spirit? I like this. We need God's power at work in us, his life alive in us. How does he do it? Well, I want to go back to, proximity and power. That's how he does it. Incarnation, devotion. Talk about someone who resonates with God from the day he's conceived to the day he dies on a cross. He fully resonates with God. You read the scriptures that said he only would do the will of his heavenly Father. Why? So that God would receive the glory. He rises from the dead, breaking free, thus breaking us free. So flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. We know that the law of sin and death is a powerful law at work in our world and in our lives. We like to sort of portray things on bad choices or not good enough intentions, all these guys. No, it goes much deeper than that. Our problem is a sin problem, and the law of sin and death is powerful. In fact, I was thinking about it. It's like, well, what would be needed to break free of the law of sin and death? Well, it's just like gravity. Can I break free of it? Maybe 2 feet. I'm hoping 2 feet. How do you break free of the earth's gravity? How do you break free of the law of sin and death? I'll tell you what, it takes rocket ship power outside of ourselves to do it. This is Jesus. You ever been in one of those carnivals when you're in the Gravitron? I think that's what they normally call it. But, you know, you go in this little door and you're in this circular room and you lay against the wall, kind of semi-reclined, I think, and all of a sudden it starts spinning. You know, you got people right next to you, you know, and you're like, you like look over at someone when it's really spinning fast, you know, and you're just like, you can't even pull your head back to neutral. You try to lift your hand. The law of sin and death. Once we are in the gravitational pull of sin, how are you going to break free of that? It's almost impossible, and we know that it is impossible in ourselves to do it. We need a mediator. We need to be born again because flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. So I want to ask today, oh, you're kidding me. My sermon's almost over. Keep going. I got 2 pages left. Let's go back to the ask. Who are the 5 most influential, maybe closest in proximity, certainly in a heart way, right? Someone that shapes and influences you, that has the greatest amplitude, your top 5, right? Just 5 people. Do you have that? I'm going to give you just a minute to think about it again. Think about it. We become the average of the 5 most closest people, proximity to us, and those who exert the highest amplitude of influence. Now look through each one. Do they move you? Do they pull you closer in sync with God in your life? Or do they pull you further away? Think about it with God. And think about it maybe in how you become more in sync with others according to what God would have us do and be. Now, maybe you might want to just do a little visual. I mean, this may be too hard to do on the spot, but I want to get you thinking about this. Like, if it's sort of like a yes, maybe your arrow, you know, goes up. You know, if it's not, maybe it goes down. If it's sort of in between or neutral, maybe it goes both ways. Maybe it's like this, you know? All of our relationships with others pull us into sync towards something. It's hermetic. Question is, does it pull us, influence us towards good or evil? Toward better or for worse? Deeper into God's kingdom or away from it? Further into resonation with God or further away from it? Just think if one of your top 5 is like a news source or someone you may not actually have relationship physical contact with. Probably not many of you had that. Let me ask this. Did you identify Jesus as one of your closest top five persons of highest amplitude in your life, closest proximity. Wouldn't it make sense that Jesus would be? After all we've heard today, that one of our closest and highest amplitude friends and influences would be Jesus. Now, not just could be, but can be. And moving that needle of influence to is be, he is. I've been thinking about this in terms of discipleship. Discipleship is really about becoming like Jesus. Certainly, it's being filled, right, with the life of Jesus, with the Spirit. It's all about following Jesus. In a relationship with God, there's no doubt the stronger pulls the weaker into alignment with him. But we got to have close proximity, and we've got to have some amplitude. Entrainment. I love the passages Paul says, right, where he talks about discipleship as being this way of dying to the self and rising to life in Christ. There's so many ways to put it. But have you thought about it as far as amplitude and proximity today, knowing the truth of our world, knowing the truth of hermetic principle? Think about the strength that Jesus has. If he's one of your five, top five, and he should be for all of us who follow him, proclaim him as Lord. How will Jesus bring up the average? I'm not even sure the lowest common denominator can stop it. The wisdom that Jesus has. The love for the world Jesus has. Just think if we were in line with that. Wow. Jesus' love for others that he has. The faithfulness he has. The surrender Jesus has. Oh my goodness. The following of God that he has. To make Jesus our closest friend in proximity and amplitude, combined with who he is, right? His nearness of presence, the amplitude of power, the absolute positively good purpose that he would live out and work out in our life, that by God's design our lives would resonate more and more with God. Yes, believe in him. Yes, surrender to him. Yes, we need to study Jesus. We need to learn from Jesus. We need to walk with Jesus, be in close proximity. We become the average of the five closest people. May Jesus be one of them. So I just have a few concluding comments here to wrap up today. And I don't know if it's like a, you know, to-do application list, but I guess indirectly it may be, because whatever helps you and helps me to consider what it means to draw closer to Jesus, to give him more amplitude in our lives, what would that look like? I've had examples of how this has kind of been happening for me. About 8 years ago, I know we suggested this 3-year read through the Bible. People resonate with different programs, different things. Some people have a harder time than others, but right from the beginning, it was the right time, and it really gravitated for me. So for the last 8 years, I've read through all the Gospels. That's part of the reading program. Every year, you read through the Gospels, and you read through the book of Proverbs. You get through the Psalms, all of them. You do about 50 a year. You get through the rest of the Bible in 3 years. So think about all that sort of just regular intake. Now, I'll be with you. It doesn't happen like every single day like I think it should with that kind of rhythm. It's almost like I'll go 3 days, and then I read 3 days worth. Maybe I'll read again the next day, and that's how it goes for me. I think I've even been 2 weeks behind. But the reading program, the way it is, you can catch up. You can do it. But here's what I'm noticing. I am noticing some vibrations of synchronization with God. As the Word of God becomes more and more a part of me, as God uses the Word of God in me, oh, believe me, I am far from perfect. I don't think I'll ever arrive. But I can tell God is doing something. And of course it would. That's God's creational fabric, the way he made us, its proximity and amplitude. I mentioned Dionne. She would be one of my five closest, and she definitely rubs off on me. 34 years, you know, ago, we made vows. Now, I believe when two people make vows before God, that God does indeed make them one. And then it's up to us to sort of put flesh and bone on that and live it out. And that's where a lot of our problems come in relationships, right? But I'm starting to learn something about proximity and amplitude as well as far as a relationship with Dionne. And it's a hermetic principle. We both have Jesus in our top five. And this pulls us together. Here's how it works. Because she is a lover of God, I'm influenced towards God. A nurturer of our grown children and now grandchildren draws me better and deeper into nurturing. Do you see this, how this works? You met my friend and lifelong mentor Dave a couple Sundays ago. That's been a 37-year relationship. I've had regular, sometimes intensive, other times sporadic engagement and relationship with a mentor for me in him. And for the past 4 years, the amplitude has actually increased. It's interesting. Meeting monthly with him, my friend Dave. Someone who's ahead of me in all aspects. In fact, he just lost his spouse of 50 years in June. Close proximity and amplitude of the things that I heard and learned just from being close to him, I think I become more shaped by him. I remember phrases that are crazy, phrases that stick to this day. How to love your wife, how to nurture your kids. I mean, it's crazy. It's a hermetic principle. I have other close friends that round out my top five. So here it is. Make Jesus your closest friend. Do everything you can to get close proximity to him. And man, if you can do this with others, it's just going to be a bonus, right? The average comes up. Draw near in proximity to him whenever and whatever ways you can. Allow Jesus to exert his power and influence in your life, your choices, your devotion, your desires, your thoughts and actions. And it's a proven principle. You will become more like Jesus. You want to know why? Because I have faith in saying that is because that's how God made us. That's how he made us. God created us for this, and Jesus loves us for this. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word today. How it really is rooted in who you are and what you've done, that even in the dark and lost places, we can find ourselves, even in the wayward and asynchronous spaces of our lives. That you broke through all that. Jesus, you made it possible to actually have a synchronous relationship with Almighty God, the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who redeemed us, reconciled us to you, and just simply calls us to walk in your ways, to just follow you. And Lord, we just pray that you would work in us this kind of powerful thing, that you would motivate in us and draw us to you, that Lord, we may seek you in ways that we're in close proximity to you, as well as increasing our amplitude. Maybe this is a big part of what it really means to be light and salt in your world. So, God, use this. Use our list. May it grow us and develop us, lead us closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.